So if you write titles, I'm afraid you've got the same title as you had last week, although it has part two on the end. So how you respond to Jesus matters, part two. So light is an important thing in our lives, isn't it? Just the other evening, Amy told me that she'd got something wrong with her car lights and she wanted me to replace the bulbs in them. So the only time I had to do that is it was getting beginning to get dark. So the only way that I could do that, of course, was I needed a light. So I had to get a torch out and look. And, you know, in the daytime, it would have been extremely easy because I'd have seen everything. But it took me a little while in the evening because the light was going and I was trying to see into a very tiny space in the car, and so I required that torch. Now, that torch wasn't really bright enough. I managed to do the job. Light is incredibly important. Stumbling around in the dark is not much fun, is it? You know what that feels like when you get up in the night, and if you don't have night lights or whatever, or lights that come on automatically, you stumble around, you bang your leg on the furniture, you stub your toe on the leg of the bed, you trip over the shoes that you put conveniently in the middle of the floor. And it's difficult to see where you're going, or even actually at times to see what's right in front of you. When we used to live in Kent a number of years ago now, we lived in down this lane, a single track road really. There were no street lights. You went out of the house in the dark and it really was dark. There was not much to be seen. And so when I went for a walk with the dog, it always took me a little while to get my light in my eyes accustomed to seeing in the dark. So you'd come out of a lighthouse and walk into what was almost pitch black outside. And so a number of times I took a fall on those occasions because you weren't quite sure where you were going until your eyes got accustomed so that they could see what little light was in the darkness, as it were, so that you could see your way forward. Well, that's the point of these verses, that Jesus is speaking to the crowds who have come to see him. He knows in reality that they are stumbling around in the dark. They are those who have come seeking that they might have direction and purpose in their lives. There are those who want to know what is right and true and yet don't seem to be able to find it. They're grasping around in the dark. And when you are in the dark, of course, light is exactly what you need. And Jesus rightly says that having recognized the darkness, it would be foolish to cover up the light. So he uses the example of somebody putting an oil lamp, as it were, in the middle of their house, and then having lit the lamp, found something to put over the top of it so that you hide the light. It would be a foolish thing to do, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be any use for you as you lived in that house, and it certainly wouldn't be any use for your guests as they come in because, well, they wouldn't be able to see anything. It was a foolish thing to do, to cover up the light. Once you've discovered the darkness, you recognize that you need the light. So I suppose really the question is, what is Jesus really talking about? What's he meaning by the light? And that would be my first point this morning. What does Jesus mean by the light in verse 33? Well, Jesus clearly is using the light in an illustrative way in this passage. He's not just instructing us on how to use an oil lamp or a candle. I think even Jesus understands that we've got some grasp of how that works. And light is not new to us as a concept, is it? We often associate light with goodness and darkness with evil. We see that all around, even on our TV screens. So when things are portrayed in a dark way, we know that we're in for some kind of menacing evil. And yet along comes the hero and they are all light and they come and bring solution to the problem. Well, apart from the occasions when we have a headache and we want to rest our eyes, largely we're more keen on the light than we are on the dark. We would rather be in the light because in the light that we can see things. We can get things more done. We can see the effects of what we are doing. So often, you know, if you work all day and you work as the night goes away, and I used to do that quite a lot on the farm, you couldn't see what you were doing. And the next morning you would come back. And if you had done it well, then everything would be okay. But just occasionally you'd realise that you'd have to correct a mistake that you made in the night. Even with all the wonderful lights that are on tractors these days, you'd still have to come back and you'd realise that you'd missed a little bit right in the middle of the field. So you'd have to go racing across just to make sure that you got that. But it shows up what we need to see. So light is good. So what is light all about? Well, the Bible tells us in various ways what light is all about. And David, King David, when he was writing about these things, he said in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 29, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness." So already the psalmist has begun to understand that if we want light in our lives, if we want that which is good and right, then the Lord is the right place to go. He is the one who brings that light into people's lives. He is the one that illuminates our darkness and enables us to see as we move forward. He unpacks that a little bit further in Psalm 119 and verse 8. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So all the instructions that God gives to us, all of those commands that he gives, somehow bring light and show us the way to go in order that we might live in this world that he has placed us. He pushes it a bit further as you carry on in that psalm, verse 130. "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." And he's not meaning simple, those who can't, who are struggling with learning. He's meaning each of us that are not like God. He's meaning those of us that can't quite make our own way in life because we need that outside input. And so here is the reality, as the psalmist tells it to us, that if we are to know where we are going in our lives, if we're to know that what the purpose is, if we're to know where it is that we need to put all of our time and effort and energy, we need to understand that we need to come to God. We need to look at his word, and we need to understand what his word has to say to each one of us. So God, in his grace, begins to help us to see that this is what we require. And then God himself, when he speaks through Isaiah, he says this. He tells them, he tells his people who are struggling, who really have lost their way in this world, he comes along and he says this to them. He says, "And I will lead the blind in a way that they have not known. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them." So here is the understanding then, that as we come to God, as we take in what his word says, as we listen to his instructions, so the way is opened up before us. So we know how that we can walk safely. So it's not like when we stumble out of bed in the night and bang our knee and stub our toe. We actually know that when we are heading out in life, we know what God wants of us. We know the things that he desires. We can see most clearly the things that are problems and learn to deal with them. Because the light that God is showing to us reveals all of those things. So we're not talking of physical light so much as spiritual light. Light that is essential for living your life to its maximum. Now every one of us here this morning, wherever we have come from, whatever the situation in our lives, we want to live full and blessed lives, don't we? We want lives that are full of meaning and purpose. Lives that do not leave us feeling when we get to the end of the day, well, what have I done with my day? You know, what have I achieved? Have I gone anywhere? Have I managed to make my life count in any way? So many people in the world today, when they take a cold, hard look at their life, discover that it isn't full of meaning. That there aren't the things there that they really would love to see. It's not surprising that our suicide rates are as high as they are. Because, you know, without God, actually life is meaningless and purposeless. And so we need to remind ourselves of these things. If we want the best in our life, if we want those wonderful joys and pleasures that we so seek, then the best place is to start with him. Well, of course, Jesus underlines who it is that he's speaking of when he speaks of the light. He himself declares, doesn't he, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So here is what the Bible is constantly driving us towards, that Jesus is the one who changes everything for us. He is the one who gives us meaning and purpose. He is the one who helps us to understand why we have been created. He is the one who points us to the place where we might discover forgiveness of sin. Each and every one of us, when we look at ourselves in the light of what God has said, we know that we fall short, don't we? We know that we do not achieve his standards and his perfections. The whole of the Old Testament really just reminds us that even as God had given the law and declared to us what was good, what was light, and what was pure, so everyone who lived in that period discovered that they could not keep it. They could not do what God required of them. They were left wanting, and still darkness reigned in their lives. And so along comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who is willing to go to the cross. He is the one who is willing to deal with that darkness. He is the one who has come to be that ultimate light of life. And as we put our faith and trust in him, so all of that darkness which seemed to hold us so tightly closed is removed. He is the one who then shows us what real freedom is like. To be able to walk in the ways of God and do so not in our own strength, but in the strength that Jesus gives to us. There comes that warning, doesn't there, in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Left to our own self, left to our own desires, week after week, we carry on sinning, don't we? Even when we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour, there is that reality that we return to the darkness far too easily. And here we're told, or we're warned, that if we consistently walk in the darkness, then we're lying about whether that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We're lying that we are following him. If darkness is the constant outworking of our actions, what do we mean by darkness? Well, all those things which God says are evil. The telling of lies. The treating people with contempt. The self-seeking. Doing it my way. All of those things, if we are consistently living in that way, the Bible says it teaches us that we aren't really trusting Christ. And we're actually making a mockery of what he has said, that if we come to Christ, then we can be forgiven and we can walk in the light. So Jesus himself is the light. He is the one who should not be hidden away. That's what he's getting at in the verse that we're looking at. It would be foolish to discover that Jesus is the light in your life and then hide him. Wouldn't that be a ridiculous thing to do? You've discovered that he is the Saviour. He is the one who has forgiven you. He is the one who has declared you righteous. And then to pretend that he's not there. But you say, well, I don't do that. I come to church every week. Or there's much more to living in the light than coming to church once on a Sunday. Much, much more. There is a dependence on the Lord Jesus that is required every day. A walking in his ways and a saying no to evil. And we hide Jesus when we will not consult him, or when we will not come to his word and see what it says, when we refuse to put into action what his word tells us to do. We hide him as though we should be ashamed of him, as though he has no part in us. His teaching, his instructions, his transformative effects should be obvious in our lives. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, are we hiding Jesus? Are we not making much of him? So we've discovered who the light is, but what does Jesus mean by the eye is the light of the lamp? The eye is a lamp. Verse 34 to 35. Well, as my sister, some of you will know this, as my sister and my brother-in-law can attest, when your eyes do not take light in and process it as it should, then life can be difficult. So my sister and her husband are both have no sight. My sister was born with very tiny eyes, which had to be removed because they were infected, and Will just was born with eyes that didn't work. And you will discover, if you ever watch them, if you ever have the opportunity to see how they act, they get on very well, please don't get me wrong. But yet they will be the first to tell you that without eyes, life is difficult. Oh, I think I mentioned it once before, but the other day, Will actually walked into the side of a bus as it was pulling away because he couldn't hear the bus moving, and all he could hear was another car to the left of him. Now, thankfully, he wasn't hurt too badly, but you know, we take looking and seeing for granted, don't we? Life is easy for us, or easier for us in that sense. And your eyes provide direction and context for your life. Without functioning eyes, you are at a serious disadvantage. And spiritually speaking, this is true too, isn't it? To the extent that if you cannot see, then you miss out on the realities of God. And there are many who are wandering around blind today, aren't there? Who know nothing of God, have no interest in God. They are convinced that they can see, and yet they are blind, the Bible tells us. What your eyes take in matters. If they take in light, then from them a person is given direction and context for life. If they take in darkness, then confusion and chaos reigns. Life makes little sense. The things of God are a complete mystery. Many of the decisions are based either on fear or on our own very limited experience and understanding if we do not take in light. So that means then it matters what we take in. It means it matters what we get involved with watching. You know, we have those boxes in our rooms, don't we? TVs. Not so much boxes these days, aren't they? Slivers of things. And yet we turn them on and we just simply absorb what comes through, don't we? Or this day, if it's not the TV, it's the internet. And we just flick through it. Taking on board everything that comes our way. And then we wonder why we struggle in our lives. Because what you take in affects the way that you live. It affects the decisions that you make. It affects what you do next. It affects what you value. As we take those things in. And now if what we're taking in is good and we're wise enough to screen it and to say, well, I'm only prepared to watch that, then we can move forward with confidence. But if we just say, well, you know, here's the controls and I'll just flick it on and this is what I'm going to watch, and whatever comes our way, we just take it in, then don't be surprised if it leads to conflict, if it leads to problems in what you're doing. Your eyes then only light up according to what they take in. And the point is, if you take in Jesus, if he is the one who instructs your life and gives you its meaning and purpose, its direction and context, then you will be well. That's the point. You will see how you truly fit in this world. You'll know what is to be done. You'll know what your goals and your aspirations should be. You will know what qualifies as markers for progress. And you will know your destination, your future. All of these things are true if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can discover them. He wants to lead you in that way. He wants to shine that light into your life. And he does that through his word. He gets you to come and to take of it, to take it in, and to see where you are in this life. And this morning, if you are wondering where you should be in life, and you are not seeking Christ for that answer, don't be surprised if the next steps don't go the way that you'd like them to. Now, please don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that every time you come to Jesus, he gives you an easy way ahead. But if you come to Jesus, he will then shine the light of his word on your path, and you will know what to expect. You'll know where you can go, and you'll know how you can make it count. The alternative, of course, is to convince yourself that the darkness that you see all around you is light. And in the world around us, that's the reality for many people. They convince themselves that the darkness that they take in every day is light. In the name of progress, in the name of science, in the name of education, and almost anything else you feel like, the Bible and the teachings of Christ are pushed as far from our lives as possible. Because that's old hat. That's not interesting. That has no value. It has no place. What we discover is the very things that should be shaped and fashioned by Christ and his word become the measure of whether the teachings of Christ are acceptable. Truly putting the cart before the horse. How do you govern Christ? How do you make sense of Christ? Well, you don't do it by going to the world and asking them what they think. You do it by coming to his word and discovering for yourself. And there is the warning in verse 35. Make sure then that you are not being deluded. See, it's quite possible to go through life, isn't it? Thinking that you are walking well with God. And because you've not bothered to find out, because you've not checked with Jesus, then eventually God does shine his light on your life and you discover that you've been wasting your time and heading in the wrong direction. I said last week, sadly we are living in times when Christians are too lazy to feed themselves. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus is a loving shepherd who leads us to green pastures. But you know, you actually still have to do the eating. A good shepherd can lead you to a pasture, but you still have to actually put down your mouth and munch. Or to put it in context of our passage this morning, Jesus shines brightly as the light. But for that light to have impact on your life, you have to make sure that you are basking in it. You have to make sure that you're taking it in. And so I suppose the question this morning is, are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry for the things of Christ? Are you coming to him not just weekly, but daily, and seeking that he would speak into your life? Last and the final question is, what does it mean to be full of light? That comes in verse 36. Well, we read, didn't we, just a little while ago in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That means that there is nothing evil in God at all. He is the definition of good. Jesus himself said that, didn't he? He says, no one good but God. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said about us, can it? In us, there are multiple areas that by God's grace we need to work on. For instance, you might struggle with your temper. So we go to Scripture and we look at what God says about that issue. And there are multiple scriptures, but just to give you one. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we say, yeah, that makes sense. If I could just deal lovingly with people, then, you know, they aren't going to respond back angry to me. But then we discover that even though we know that is true, we somehow can't make that work in our lives. So we have to understand what God says. And so we would go to the New Testament and we would go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23, and we discover that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. And then we suddenly say, yes, now I understand. I can't control my temper, but Jesus can. Now be careful, I'm not making an excuse for you. It still requires that you engage and that you ask God to work that out in your life. But you come just as you did when you knew that you were a sinner in the first place, and you say to Jesus, Lord, forgive me, I cannot get a hold of my temper. Grant me your forgiveness and enable me by your Spirit to be gentle and to be self-controlled. And then you trust Jesus and you step out in faith. And the next time that situation comes and you can feel your blood boiling, you say, Lord Jesus, I can't do this alone. Thank you for being with me. And you allow him to take control in the circumstance. So we therefore apply God's words to our lives, asking the Holy Spirit to change us in ways that we cannot change ourselves. What we do not do is excuse ourselves and just say to people, well, that's the way that I am made. Live with it. That's the world's answer, isn't it? Christ's answer is say, look, surrender it to me. Allow me to deal with it and to work in this. And you can repeat that with every area that you have a problem in your life. And that is the point, that you come to Jesus and you surrender those problems at his feet and ask him to change it. It's not just about the things that we do, though, is it, that need to be changed? It's about the way that we think, because more often than not, that's really where the battle lies. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We know what worldly war looks like, don't we? We turn on our TVs and we see men with tanks and guns. And we see that all that they do is wreak destruction. There is no peace to be found at the end of a gun. And we delude ourselves if we think that that is the case. And so the same is true in our lives. Whenever we think that we can fix the problem simply by acting better, what we recognize is that actually what we require is a change inside. And so we come and we recognize those bad thoughts as what they are, and we bring them to the feet of Jesus and we say, look, Lord, we do not wish to think like this. We can see that they're evil. In your grace, come and cleanse my thoughts. In your grace, give me better thoughts as I concentrate on Christ. So it's not about the wrong things that we've done. It's not just about the way that we think, but it's also about the things that we need to do. As we lay ourselves open to be examined by God's word and his Spirit, we discover that there are things that we should do. And just to give you one example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Allowing the light that is Christ into our lives is this process of seeing Christ in his word and responding by faith to what is there. And as we see this, and as we do this, so his light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, fills our lives, and then we shine for Christ. Lord, the light of your love is shining. In the darkness, it's shining. And you know who it shines through? You and me, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, part of the reason that this world is in such a dark place at this moment is not just because there is evil out there. It's because God's people aren't shining in the way that they should. In actual fact, let me dare say this, part of the reason that our country is in the mess that it is because we have refused to shine for Jesus. And it's at that point we need to repent, isn't it? And we need to make sure that Jesus is lifted high in our community, in our families, amongst our friends. We'll never do it alone, though. We need to be absorbing Christ and allowing him to speak into our lives. So Jesus is the light. We should be aware of the darkness. Or even beware of the darkness. And we should apply that light to all the areas of our lives. The question this morning is, are we? Let's pray, shall we?